It's good. It's good. Wow. If you just believe, will you pray with me? God, we thank you. For this amazing container you created as a gift to carry your message, to communicate your grace and your love. May we hold on to those simple moments that seem to flow from us as children, and grab hold of the tail of belief and live into all that you have called us to be and do. Meet us, O God, in the places of our heart's longings. Meet us, O God, in the meditations that loom in our minds and our souls. Continue to be your transforming presence in us, as we offer ourselves as instruments of your good news. In Jesus' name. Amen. We continue this sermon series as we look at the voices of the prophets, as we look at the struggles of the prophets, as we listen to the tension that resonates in their call. You ever had tension in your body? Oh, you laugh. Is that a, oh yes, I so get that. Is that what I'm hearing in the, tell me about tension. How does it live in your body? Angrily? How else? Pain, tight muscles, knots, anxiety, depression. How does it live in your body? Choice. It lives in lots of ways, manifests itself in lots of ways. And here we have a glimpse in the prophets of what happened for them when they heard God's call. One of the things I love about this is it's so human. Their experience is so human. How many of us hear the voice of God and say, oh, goody! God's calling me to do something I'm not going to like. In fact, not only am I not going to like it, nobody else is going to like it either, which is then going to make me not very popular. And who wants that, right? The tension that Jeremiah brings to the conversation is a different tension than we watched with Jonah or Samuel. Jeremiah, for being as young as he was quick on his feet. God called him, and Jeremiah's response was, oh, but God, I'm too young. I mean, what could you do with that, right? Really, God? And God said, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to say. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares God. Now, isn't that comforting? Right? I mean, you're the only person who hears this invitation. You can't see God. No one else can see God. And you're supposed to be comforted by going and telling people what they don't want to hear. And God's going to protect you. I'm in. Anyone else? Anyone else? I've got the clipboard. It's going to be going through the aisles. I have a job for you. The scary part is, you know, that would probably be true, right? And who would put your name on it? Go get that clipboard. Tom's got the clipboard right there. Tom started through the aisle. I want your email, your cell phone, your Facebook page, however I need to get your Twitter account. I don't do those things, but I know people who do. I will find you. And if not me, God will find you. The question is, what will you do with that? Right? Because, you know, God doesn't typically call us out to do something that's already been done. Right? God calls us out to do something no one has yet to step into. The interesting thing about the tension in the world of Jeremiah is there was great political and distress. You know, they were at war. There were people trying to take their land. In fact, people took their land. God was talking to Jeremiah for a people who had been exiled. Hello? For a people who had been exiled. They lost their land. They lost their freedom. They lost their temple. They lost their identity. Sound familiar? Hello? Now, maybe for some of us, that was so long ago we forgot. Or maybe this is your first time in MCC hearing that we can actually locate ourselves with a name, with a connection, a people who have been exiled. We haven't just been exiled politically or even by our geography. We are people who are exiled from our faith community. Hello? What happened when that happened for you? When you were exiled. And did that happen to anybody here, or am I just caught up in the lights? Really? At some point in your spiritual journey, were you exiled? I'll tell you what, that's a tough crowd this morning. One of the tensions that we hold as a community people. So let me make a little disclaimer right here. I'm not just talking about gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer questioning folk. Hello. I'm talking about the people beyond the margins of spiritual privilege. That includes a whole bunch more folk than those I just named, right? Exiled because somebody else said, God could never love you. Exiled because you didn't fit into a box. Exiled because your behavior was an abomination. Exiled because your presence makes a holy place unholy. Did you know that in some church communities, a person fits that category if you're divorced? If you marry outside your faith, if you dress a certain way, well, that includes a lot of us. I mean, don't start your own fashion trend because people will talk. And throughout history, God has called prophets to people who have been exiled from God's grace, from God's love, to step out and say, not on my watch. Now, Jeremiah had a lot of tension with this call. Have you ever had tension with your call? I totally get that. Trust me. I mean, I got called at 7. I stepped into it at 40. There's a lot of time in the middle there. I had great reasons. Number one, I was Baptist and they had great reasons. I was female. That's a good reason if you're Southern Baptist. Not a good reason for God. Change your denomination. That fixes that, right? I was lesbian. It may be news for some people here, I don't know. And to top it off, I was obnoxious. And you know what? All of those might be reasons, but they weren't good ones. I said no to this call because I can't stand church politics. Guess what? As long as there's people, there's going to be church stuff. And we can use that to separate ourselves from our call, or we can just get it's going to happen and be aware of it when it's ours. We have witnessed prophets in our own time to speak to our own issues of exile. In my time, I think about the prophets that came along and made a difference, both political and spiritual. Troy Perry came along and heard the voice of God. He heard the voice of God before he ever started MCC. He heard the voice of God and preached the good news, and then got some message from somebody. You can't do that and be gay. And you know what? For a period of time, he said, okay, I'll go sell real estate or something. I don't know what he did in that season, but he said, okay. Until he heard the voice of God call him again. One of the statements that Troy said early on and continues to say to this day is that God doesn't have stepsons and stepdaughters. We are all God's children. Another prophet. He didn't step out to be a prophet. He stepped out to live into his calling. To be a civil servant. Harvey Milk was the first openly gay elected official, openly, you have to put that, the quotations around that, openly gay elected official in the United States. I'm sure there were brothers and sisters who came before him, because we have always been here. But Harvey Milk dreamed for a better tomorrow, just as Jeremiah opened himself up to be the voice of hope. His book, the book of Jeremiah, if you're ever forlorn and you're just really struggling with God's call in your life and what to do in difficult times, read the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah is about hope for a people who could have been consumed by their circumstances. Harvey Milk dreamed for a better tomorrow. Filled with hope, an equality for a world without hate. This was in 1978. This church was 7 years old. 1978. In his book, Cod Kotinsky Kottmeyer, Why Me, Harvey Milk? Question mark. Could be why me, Jeremiah. Could be why me, you, or you, or you, or you. Could be why me, anybody. In this book, it was Harvey Milk. This was 2010, a speech given by Todd as he emceed the first Harvey Milk Festival, Sarasota. He writes here, Harvey Milk's grand groundbreaking election in 1978, as the world's first openly gay elected official, and its most visible symbolized the freedom to live life with authenticity to millions of LGBT women and men around the world. Harvey served less than 1 year before his brutal assassination. But his life profoundly changed a city, a state, a nation, and a global community. His courage, passion, and sense of justice rocked a country and stirred the very core of a put-down and pushed-out community, bringing forward new hope and a new vision of freedom. A 20th century prophet. Somehow, some way, we get stuck in our heads that the big work is left to somebody else besides us, or somebody else other than us. And if we can just wrap ourselves around that the big work is manageable if each of us does our little part. This week, the triplets, as you meet week after week, were in a fashion show. And their moms, now this is in Plant City. Anybody ever been to Plant City? So here's these three little children raising, being raised by two moms at a fashion show in Plant City. And one of the moms is sitting at the table and somebody begins to ask her about the children, and she's like, oh yes, my partner and I had these children, and I wasn't allowed to adopt them for several years because of the law. Did you know about the law that was on the books in Florida for 31 years that didn't let gay people adopt? And now that law's been lifted, and I got to adopt my children last year. She took one little opportunity, and the people that were sitting at the table were like, we had no idea. Each one of us making a difference. Each one of us doing our part. In this book are quotes, and I want to offer you a few. Harvey Milk said, I fully recognize that a person who stands for what I stand for, an activist, a gay activist, becomes the target or the potential target for a person who is insecure, terrified, afraid, or very disturbed with themselves. He says, the fact is more people have been slaughtered in the name of religion than any other single reason. That, my friend, is true pervasion. It's not my victory, he says. It's yours and yours and yours. If a gay can win, it means there is hope that the system can work for all minorities if we fight. And remember, at whatever point equality comes to our community, we must not look forward to the center of that privilege. We must look behind us and see who is yet marginalized. See who is yet way out there. It is up to us to fight and give them hope. I know that you cannot live on hope alone. This sounds like the voice of Jeremiah. But without it, life is not worth living. And you gotta give them hope. We are the voice of hope. Then God reached out and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of God came to me and said, Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah said, I see the branch of an almond tree. I replied, God said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. I see the branch of an almond tree, young and full of fruit, young and full of possibility. I see that, Jeremiah, in you. I see that, Harvey Milk, in you. I see that, Troy Perry, in you. I see that, MCC Tampa, in you. In you, in you, in you, in you. While our work is not done, while our work, hear me, folks, is not done, we must not be so myopically focused on our own stuff that we miss the work yet to be done. We don't live in a system where medical care is for everyone. And I know that's hugely charged politically. And yes, this is a political statement. This is not a political statement for the presidential election. This is a political reality. Not everybody, even in this room, has access to health care. Even in this room. Not everyone, even in this room, has access to education. Do you know education is a privilege? Now, you have to go to school till you're a certain age. But beyond that, it's a privilege. It's not easy to get an education. Can I get a witness? Why do we hold that power back from people? Our work is not done, my friends. Not around LGBT issues, not around healthcare issues, not around education issues, not around peace issues. Our work is not done. The prophet Jeremiah found courage, found it inside of him. It lives inside of you. Ralph Marston said, you have courage, great courage, use it. Whenever you feel fear, you are also feeling your potential for courage. Imagine those two things, those two tensions sitting inside of you. Go ahead, feel the fear, he says, and then let that courage spring to life in you. The fact is, the fact that you can feel fear means you have courage to go beyond that fear. Otherwise, fear would serve no useful purpose. Amen? Put that fear to good use by allowing it to ignite your courage. Put that fear to good use by utilizing it to move towards positive, meaningful objectives. Feel the fear and know it means you have courage. Learn from that fear, then step forward towards courage. For the beginning of courage feels like fear. Follow through on that feeling. Go down that path. Let the courage come. And with it, you will achieve the unimaginable. For God has called you by name. Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks and praise for Jeremiah, for Troy Perry. We give you thanks and praise for all of the ways in which you journey with us, for how you call us, for how you wrap us, for the courage that lives in the belly of our soul, O God. We thank you. Bless us as we continue to offer ourselves. May fear and courage both be our companions on this journey. In Jesus' name. Amen.